High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. In respect of the Zodo Commission report, part one that's been released, a lot of recommendations were made, especially as into who should be held accountable. But will they? Advocate Paul Hoffman, the director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa, now joins us live to discuss this. A very good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Chad, and good morning to your listeners.
So, Paul, with all these recommendations, we now seeing in print what a lot of us knew all along, and those that were following the commission very closely have seen a lot of things come to the fore, which I think was in some instances unexpected. We've been led down the garden path so many times in South Africa with regards to reports and their outcomes that I think it came as a surprise to so many that there were firm recommendations, especially in respect of certain responsibilities, in respect of holding people accountable and prosecuting. My question to you today, do you think these recommendations will be implemented?
Chad, the difficulty with a commission of inquiry is that its findings of fact bind nobody, and its recommendations are of the take it or leave it variety. They are not recommendations that have to be accepted by government. So your question with respect is a little premature. What we need to wait and see is, will our government respond positively to the recommendations? Will the prosecutions that are recommended be taken up by the National Prosecuting Authority and Hawks? Will the reforms that are suggested in the first section of the report, and presumably there'll be more reforms suggested in the other section, will they be acted on by Parliament and by government? And the jury is out on all of that. President Ramaphosa has said that he wants until the end of June this year, which is essentially 4 months after he gets the final installment of the Zondo report, to consider the position of government. Now, in this report, this first tranche of the report, there is a recommendation for the establishment of a new anti-corruption agency of South Africa. A CASA is what they are calling it, as a tentative name. You can give it any name that Parliament chooses. And that body will be tasked with dealing with grand corruption as it occurs in South Africa. And the functions of that body are not entirely clear from the recommendations that have been made, but it seems to be very much along the lines of the Chapter 9 Integrity Commission, which has been punted by Accountability Now for many years, and which is sitting on the draft legislation for it, is sitting on the President's desk and in the inbox of the Constitutional Review Committee of Parliament. So it's possible that the recommendations dovetail with the reform that has been suggested already, bearing in mind that the ANC itself, or its National Executive Committee, has called for something that looks like a very good hybrid between the ACASA and the Integrity Commission suggestions that have been made by the Commission on the one hand and by us on the other hand. So accountability is necessary if we are going to recover from the ravages of the state capture phenomenon. The loot has to be recovered, as much of it as possible anyway. Those involved need to be held criminally accountable and tried, and if convicted, imprisoned for their trouble. And steps need to be taken to prevent a repetition, and that is where the reform I talk about is necessary. So, complicated argument, complicated answer to your question, but it's early days yet is probably the most sensible way of answering you.
You made me smile when you referred to grand corruption. It was actually part of the title of Henny van Vieren's paper a few years ago in respect of the legacy of corruption left by the apartheid government. He called it grand corruption. When one looks at this report, the recommendations relating to Judy Mayeni, Tom Moyane, the likes of Brian Malefe, all seem to point towards prosecution. We saw the investigating directorate established as a means to prosecute state capture. We were told that the reason they were not capacitated and completely resourced is that they were waiting for the end of the Zondo Commission, because people from the Zondo Commission were then going to be allowed to leave the Zondo Commission and to join the ID in this prosecution-led investigations that would then take place. So we've been led to believe that there would be prosecutions. We've been led to believe that there will be ramifications. The state went to the extent of establishing the investigating directorate, especially for that. Why then are they speaking about creating another corruption-type organization? Is that organization just going to be there from an integrity and accountability perspective and then refer stuff to the NPA? Or is it going to have a similar role to what the ID is meant to be doing, which is having prosecution-led investigations?
I think housing the anti-corruption machinery within the NPA is a fool's errand. We know that the NPA has not for 10 years been able to mount a successful prosecution. That can, in part, be a successful corruption prosecution, I should say. That can in part be attributed to the fact that the Hawks lack the necessary clout to do the investigative work that precedes the prosecutorial work. But the invention of the ID to which you refer was intended to give the prosecuting authority both investigative and prosecutorial functions. And we've been waiting a long time, but we haven't seen anybody issued with an orange overall as a result of the efforts of the ID. And that is because the National Prosecuting Authority itself has been subjected to the ravages of state capture. It has been hollowed out, to use Shamila Batoy's term. And it has been infested with saboteurs, which is something Hermione Cronier complained about before she resigned and indicated that she is now giving up on the idea of heading the ID successfully prosecuting those named in the Zondo Commission report.
Which in itself was an absolute travesty, because our understanding was that the ID was there for this reason. And in fact, President Ramaphosa changed the terms that members of the Zondo Commission, from an investigative perspective, as well as those that led evidence, would be able to later join the ID.
Yeah.
Well, Advocate, we've unfortunately reached the end of the interview. We're about to go into the 7 a.m. news. I'd love to chat to you further about this in the coming weeks. I look forward to our further conversations. And thank you, as always, for taking time out so early to chat to our listeners.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Advocate Paul Hoffman is a director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa, chatting to us about the recommendations made in the Zondo Commission.